closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
AM 842, 1360, 97.5 WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. As I sit here at 8:41 a.m. Central Daylight Time, the Dow is up 110.82 to 23,108.26. The Dow also broke 23,000 yesterday. I can't even believe I just said that out loud. 23,000 settled back just under that, 22,990-something. Again, it is up over 23,000. Yesterday was a record in any event. Today, of course, we'll see if it will close above 23,000. Then raises the question, how high can it go? But my 401k here through Midwest Communications, I have it very aggressive. And my wife opened the quarterly statement. She's like, holy cow. Have you looked at this thing lately? It is through the roof because I kind of treat it as my investment roof. We have the foundation, things that we are more cautious with. But then we have ones where I'm 56 years old, there is time. But now you start wondering, though, because that which goes up does, in fact, have to come down sometime. Although, if you were born after, I don't know, 2000, you might find that hard to believe if you've been following it in recent years. Of course, President Obama took credit for it. President Trump takes credit for it. Neither really can. I mean, it's artificially inflated by cheap money policies, which at some point here. Yeah, but if you were born in 2000, you were only 8 in 2007. That was my point. But if you're born in 2000, you're approaching 18, and you, hey, this is great. Yeah, when it does this, when it's stuck in forward, it's when it gets locked in reverse that gets a little nasty in the ride. Talk about that later in the show. Yeah, and here's the thing, Earl says a 40% dump when it's this high, a 3% dump. You know what I mean? I remember when a 200-point drop was a big deal in the Dow. It's practically a rounding error these days. Oh yeah, if you go look at when the crash of 29. The harbinger of doom to the Great Depression. In our lifetimes, Earl, it was a big deal. Google this. When did the Dow hit 1,000? That puts a little perspective. I'm going to say 72. The Dow broke 1,000 for the first time 45 years ago next month. All right, when did the Dow hit 5,000? We'll do a little history experiment here. April 97, it hit 7,000. July 97, 8,000. April 98, 9,000. It hit 10,000 in 1999. So, I mean, it just gives you an idea of how insane this has gotten. Earl's going through the entire history of the Dow. Then you had the crash in 87 and it's 3,091. So, you know, it's relatively recent history, over 4,095. It's at 23,000 22 years later. When it hit 1,000, closed above 5,000, November 21st, 95, is that?
Yeah.
I remember, that one I remember. I was doing broadcast news at that point. That was a big deal. Anyway, more on that later in the show. This is one of those things where everybody knows Governor Scott Walker is seeking a third term, right? I mean, there is no secret. That's why Democrats are lining up left, right, up, down, and sideways to challenge him. They think he's vulnerable. Governor Scott Walker, at 5 this morning, his campaign released a video, an online video, which Earl still doesn't say he's seeking re-election, but makes it clear he's seeking re-election. It's campaign video, touts his career, makes it clear he wants to run for a third term, but he still doesn't say so. But everybody knows he is. Oh, you could have let it go.
Hi, I'm Scott Walker. I love Wisconsin. Every day is a chance to make things better for the people of our state. More folks are working than ever before because we're open for business. Our budgets are balanced and we now have surpluses, so we lowered taxes. At the same time, we're investing more into schools than ever before. Test scores and graduation rates are among the best in the nation. More families can afford to send their kids to college because we froze tuition. More people have access to health care here than just about anywhere else in America. I love traveling the state and hearing how the things we're doing are helping. But there's more to be done. Investing in training for our workers, helping people create jobs, making our schools even better. At the end of each day, after all the miles of conversations, I can't wait for the alarm to ring. See what opportunities tomorrow will bring.
Are you with me?
By the way, he was on his Harley for much of that ride and that ad. He's riding his Harley. I suppose you could call it a ride. And at the end, when he says, "When you're with me," he's on his Harley. Quick digression. I saw a guy on a homemade motorcycle last night while walking the dog. It was a motorized 10-speed bike. It sounded like any other motorcycle. It sounded like a motorcycle. I'm not sure what engine he used, but it was really cool. Well, this to me appeared to be self-fashioned and not mark, but I don't know that. It had the trappings of a do-it-yourself job, but I don't know that. Anyway, I just had to mention that out loud before I forgot. So there is Scott Walker's optimistic rear view and forward vision of where he has taken Wisconsin and where it's going. Here is the response, and there's a reason I do this. I share the response from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. If Scott Walker released an honest video on his track record in Wisconsin, it would show his refusal to expand health care to all Wisconsinites, his rejecting federal money to improve broadband in rural Wisconsin, his wounding cuts to our public schools, and his singular pursuit of serving the ultra-wealthy around the country over the majority of middle-class Wisconsinites. Proof is in his tax giveaways to the rich, his extravagant credit card state borrowing, and his complete failure on his very own job creation promises that were the centerpiece of his first campaign. Scott Walker's political posing on a motorcycle is fine, but an accurate video would show him being jostled around on Wisconsin's crumbling roads that are the fourth worst in the nation as he sped across a state line to a waiting jet to take him to his latest coastal fundraiser, ignoring Wisconsin as he pursues higher office for himself. His new white W logo stands for nothing but Walker himself, as he's always put his personal political pursuits far ahead of Wisconsin's needs and interests. Okay, this is going to be how this campaign is framed. How do which Wisconsin or what Wisconsin do Wisconsinites see? Do they see the Walker Wisconsin, or do they see the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Wisconsin? Or do they see something in the middle? And if it is in the middle, does it lean Walker's Wisconsin, or does it lean DPW's Wisconsin? What is my opinion? And this is my opinion. I think for most Wisconsinites, it leans Walker's Wisconsin. Things aren't perfect. But for the most part, the state is economically healthy. The unemployment rate is way down. And Walker is also going to be able to tout Foxconn throughout this 2018 and can point, through the 2018 election cycle and point out that Democrats opposed it. The problem with the DPW, their issue, I think, is I don't think most Wisconsins see it that way. I don't see the roads crumbling beneath my car. Now, am I annoyed at the way Republicans have handled the transportation issue? As a matter of fact, I am. But does that justify the narrative that the roads are crumbling, even though Robin Voss took that silly ambulance ride? Robin Voss did embarrass himself with that crumbling roads narrative. And that a lot of EMTs then responded, yeah, those babies aren't built for comfort. And then it was school buses and everything else. That was not anyone's finest hour who went that route. But I drive Wisconsin's roads quite a bit. Heck, not as much as you, Earl, but I'll tell you what, that 2014 Ford Fusion I bought a while back, I've actually stretched it to 5,000 miles for oil changes. So the next one will be due December 21st. I've got 4,000 miles on that oil. And it's only October, whatever, 18th. I should know the date, which I'll get to in a moment. I do know the date, and I'll explain why it's significant to me. But I think this is, no pun intended, this is where the rubber is going to meet the road. What do Wisconsinites see? And is a message of pessimism going to fly when that's not where Wisconsinites are, about Wisconsin? And what if there are other announcements spurred by Foxconn? I have a slogan to throw Scott Walker, to throw Republicans in Wisconsin in 2018. Who bets on failure? Who bets on failure? Who sells failure? It's a pessimistic, unreal portrait of where we are. If you were to say that Walker's vision of where Wisconsin is a 10, and Democrats is a 0, I would say Wisconsin is really at about a 7 or 8. You agree, or that's about where you would have dropped it? No, it's a 10 because Scott Walker says, well, come on. Politicians are still politicians. So it's a 7 or an 8. Or as we say in music radio, but it's number 7 with a bullet. By the way, can Billboard magazine, they don't use the bullet anymore. I don't think they, not online they don't, because there are some charts I check. For those of you unaware, when a song was hot, you would say number 3 with a bullet. It'd have a black mark next to it, and that meant it was on the rise. On the side. And, I mean, so the most coveted position was number 1 with a bullet. You're number 1 and you're still hot. Your sales are hot. Boy, gone since like the 70s? That's actually not true. I can tell you that did not go away in the 70s. Because when I was in radio, for songs that had sold 1 million singles, when I was in radio in the 80s, they still use the bullet. I will tell you that right now. Because at WFON in Fond du Lac, the program director got Billboard magazine. And I will tell you in the 80s they still used it, but I'm sure it's long gone now. Anyway, that's where I would say we are. So voters are going to decide, and I just, when you look at the field of Democrats, Andy Gronick, Dana Walks, Kathleen Vineout, Mike McCabe, Matt Flynn, Tony Evers, some others, I don't know that they've got someone who can, we'll see. But I think promoting failure, if most people don't feel that way, is going to be a loser for them and a winner for Scott Walker. After 9 o'clock, I'm going to delve back into the NFL kneeling for the anthem issue. I think a lot of people were surprised. The NFL did not, at its meeting yesterday, decide to ban the practice of kneeling on field for the anthem. I think a lot of people were surprised by that. Perhaps Scott Walker was surprised by that. That might be what he thought was going to happen when he issued his statement on the matter. Perhaps President Trump was surprised by that because his weekend radio address or video address, whatever we call it these days, his weekly address, again reiterated the kneeling should stop. After news came out that that's not the result of yesterday's NFL meeting, President Trump tweeted again this morning that the NFL should force its players to stop kneeling. There's a very good conservative columnist, John Cass, with the Chicago Tribune, who has what I think is a very, very good column on that. And I want to share that with you. I will say this. Politicians sticking their nose in it isn't helping. I will give you this. This is a tease that really tells you what the topic's going to be. If the NFL wants to chase away their customers, they have the right to do that. There's no First Amendment right to kneeling in an NFL stadium because it's not the government's stadium. The First Amendment argument has always been a spurious one. But it becomes less spurious when politicians get involved. The NFL wants to destroy its business. It has the right to do that. That's basically going to be my thesis. We'll get to it at 9:06. It's 9 o'clock.
News, talk, sports.